The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
March 24th, 2014 is a day that Joanne Millen will never forget. Born deaf, she never expected to hear the sound of running water, and she had never heard music. But on that date, less than a month ago, very recent, her life changed when she heard for the very first time, and that miraculous moment has been seen by millions because it was filmed by her mother, Anne. And yesterday, Joanne and her mom joined us from a studio in Newcastle. And just to let you know, she was not able to wear headphones. She's still very reliant on lip reading, as you can imagine. So some of her answers may be a little indistinct. So bear with us because it's an incredible story. And her mom, Anne, is there to lend a hand. You can hear some whispering in the background. Joanne, good morning. The last month must have been a whirlwind for you.
That's been absolutely marvellous. It's been the biggest, most emotional roller coaster of my life.
You have almost 40 years to catch up on. I mean, it's so phenomenal. It's almost unbelievable the journey that the last 3 weeks has taken you on. But just to bring it back a little bit, you were born deaf as a child. What was that like?
Growing up, I never felt different from probably like my hearing sister. My mum had always encouraged me to be part of the hearing world. I went to like a mainstream school, and it wasn't until I was actually an adult myself I actually realised that my mum had a battle with the authority to actually get me into a mainstream school. But looking back, I didn't feel any different. My deafness was embraced with incredible normality.
How much could you hear, or were you completely deaf?
Yes, I'm completely deaf, yeah. But I wore hearing aids, and I started wearing these hearing aids when I was 2 years old. In the early days, it was more like a phonic ear, which they called, and it was like a big box that was attached to my chest. But as the years went by, the hearing aid got smaller and smaller, and then it was just like two aids that were like in the back of my ear. And I wore these two aids right up till I had the double cochlear implant, which was on the 24th of February. And these actual hearing aids, they did help me a little to pick up sound, but it was more like a very dull white noise.
And it was obviously very important for you that Joanne integrate normally. That's what you wanted. You wanted her in a normal school.
She had speech training when she was two and went to a nursery where she got a lot of help. But when she was six, I fought to get her into normal school.
How many children are in the family?
Three. I've got three girls.
And was Joanne
Joanne's the only one? Yes.
She was the only one born deaf?
Yes. Okay. Deaf and blind. She has ushers.
Describe to me exactly what Usher syndrome is.
There's three types of ushers. Joanne has type two. You're born deaf and gradually it gets progressively worse. It's tunnel vision and the sight goes in.
Joanne, you were 29 when your life changed. You were driving in the car one day. What happened?
Yes, I was actually 29 when I became registered blind. But looking back to actually growing up in my teenage years, the sound of Usher were quite apparent, but it's only when I think back in my memory when I was, for example, I used to trip over a lot of things and I didn't realise that I was actually blind and I couldn't see what was underneath. And it's like what my mum just explained, it's like a tunnel vision. So obviously the tunnel and the circle gets smaller and smaller over the years. But I was actually driving, and this is what happened when I was 29. I realised that something wasn't quite right in the wing mirror. And then this is when I had it checked out, I had the test, and then it was confirmed I had Usher.
Joanne, I read a quote where you said, "Unfortunately, when I became registered blind, things changed dramatically, and for the first time, being deaf became increasingly difficult." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, you've made a tear come there, but yeah. Yes, it became increasingly difficult because obviously I was going blind. just very, very normal and day-to-day thing. It got very, very tiring when I had to, like, lip read because I was really, really having to use my vision to be able to communicate and to hear. So obviously before I had the operation, it was just so, so hard when people were trying to get my attention. I had to get right into my central vision and vice versa. So it was because I was going blind, I considered the possibility of having the cochlear implant.
When you were diagnosed with Usher syndrome, did that diagnosis bring relief for what the future held, or did it make you more nervous?
No, I've never had a feeling of relief. Because I think I've always known in the back of my mind that there'd been something not quite right. And when I got diagnosed, it was actually more heartbreaking. It was more, my fears were like confirmed. It was more like that. Yeah, very, very devastating. And I'm only human. I did have those bouts of depression and I felt very low. And then obviously as the years went by, I realised there was just absolutely nothing I could do about it. And I just tried to be positive and think how I could improve the quality of my life. Hence, you know, even having the cochlear implant.
That must have been very difficult, Anne, to watch your daughter. She had lived a very normal life, very positive. And all of a sudden at 29 is, you know, hit again with this and
yes.
losing her sight. And that fear of going into a very lonely, silent world after everything she'd already been through.
Yes, it was. I think I had depression as well. You know, to be deaf or to be blind, but to have both together was just devastating. And I think Joanne and I, it must have taken a couple of years to really come to terms with. You know, we couldn't read anything. We didn't want to see blind people. You know, it's just... But anyway, she's come out at the other. She's came out the other end.
Yeah, I've come out the other end. It's all fantastic. I mean, I'm actually crying. It's a wonder I've got any tears left. Just tears that have been coming from my eyes the last few weeks. But they're all very, very happy tears now. I mean, like, the quality of my life has so, so improved.
I'm so looking forward to talking to you about the last couple of weeks. I just want to ask you, Anne, when did you first find out there was a possibility that Joanne might hear?
I never dreamt that she would ever hear. I used to pray that maybe there was something they could do. Hearing aids made her hear her own voice. And I did hear about cochlear implants, but I never thought they would have ever given her the hearing she's got.
You went to the University Hospital in Birmingham.
In Birmingham, yes.
So talk us through that journey and the journey that the two of you went on.
I think it's about 18 months, 2 years when she first inquired about it. And then she got a bit scared a few times and didn't go through with it.
Yeah. At the beginning, I even considered the possibility of maybe having one done. And then maybe the second one done a year later because I was so petrified to give up my hearing aid. You know, these hearing aids I've worn since I was 2 years old. So I could have had the surgery and then just popped my hearing aid back in the other ear. Now, obviously, there's advice from doctors who said it's best to get them both done at the same time because they were so positive about it. And I was quite negative. And they said it will work, believe me. But there were risks involved, and I'm so glad that I got them both done at the same time.
See, there was the chance it might not work.
Yeah. Mm.
It was a 5-hour operation. She went in at 12 and came back at 6.
Yeah.
I walked around Birmingham Hospital, had a cup of coffee, walked around and...
That must have been such an agonising wait, Anne.
Oh, yes, it was, yeah. And then we had to wait a month before the switch on.
And that was an awful month.
So that was a terrible month because all her ears were healing and her head and couldn't wear the cochlear implants for a month.
That month was just absolutely awful and that really, really was being in a month of silence. Now, when I say silent, I mean I didn't even have that small noise that I might have had from my hearing aid. And then, yeah, a month later, what everybody's seen on the video, that was the day where I went back. And the reason my mum actually thought I'm going to film this, and it was just on my mobile phone, and it was just originally supposed to be for family and friends just to have a look at what happened, because the actual therapist said something about there were 22 electrodes in each ear. so I'm going to stress all 44 on. And it just sounded so wow. And then it did when it was like, I'm going to video the moment. And then went to stress on all 44 electrodes. It was just getting louder and louder and louder. And it was just amazing. I had a very good idea on what the hearing world sounded like for the first time, yeah.
Unbelievable. That clip that you filmed, Anne, has been watched by more than 3.5 million people online. So we're going to have a listen to it now again.
Yeah. And it might be a bit overwhelming at first. I'll say the days of the week again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How does it sound? Just be careful, you're not going to knock them off. Can you hear my voice coming through both sides?
Yeah. I'm very high.
Very high. It will sound high-pitched at first. Your brain will readjust it for you.
Okay.
It won't always sound that way. It's all right. It's a big, big, life-changing day today.
I'm very, very stressed.
Yes, it will do.
Joanne, I have a feeling that you will never forget the sound of that therapist's voice.
And the way she said the date of the week and month of the year, I will never, ever, ever forget that. And I'm sorry for making the world cry. I think I made everybody cry. I didn't mean to, because they're all happy tears, I promise you.
It must be still very emotional for you to hear it.
Well, it's like I said, also I'd had that horrible month where I'd had absolutely nothing. And then just all of a sudden to have all that, just like in a matter of seconds, it was just life-changing. My life changed dramatically from that second when it was switched on.
And Anne, you were filming the whole thing. How emotional was it for you?
Well, actually, I was crying as well. But Joanne just handed me a mobile. And really, it was just one of those little clips, you know, you take for Facebook. And I imagined Joanne to just go, ooh, wow, you know, or something. But it wasn't like that at all. But, oh, it's wonderful. It's like a miracle to us.
So the whole world has seen this very private, hugely emotional moment. Were you surprised at the reaction from around the world?
Yes. My husband's got a cousin in Australia. They saw it on the television there. I have a cousin in America who saw it there. In Bangladesh, Joanne had a school friend moved to Bangladesh, and it was even on there. It's just amazing.
I suppose you've got to be protective in one way as well. This is only, it's not even a month ago, and everybody wants to talk to her, you know, but she's, I mean, we can't forget, you know, what a big deal this is and how she's still coping with it.
Well, I feel like that. I keep saying to her, is this not too much? But she seems to be coping all right. I was just frightened it was a bit too much, everything, you know, because it was a big operation. But just coping fine.
Joanne, after 40 years of silence, in three short weeks, what difference has it made to your life?
The difference, massive difference. Just like I said, my life has really, really changed. But I have to admit, the last 3 weeks, it's just been like an emotional whirlwind with what's been happening with the media and the fact that the whole world's been sharing my journey. I don't think I've really had a chance to sit back and realise exactly what's happening. I mean, I have lots of music to listen to, and I haven't even had a chance to listen to it yet. And I'm also still lip reading, and this is something I'm going to have to, I've actually had the test to prove that I can actually hear without lip reading, but at the moment I'm still like looking at people's faces to lip read.
What sounds have you really enjoyed, and what sounds have you found the most irritating?
Oh, the happy one, definitely a child's voice. Even like birdsong and listening to musical instruments. And then the annoying and irritating one, it had to be the traffic. But because the last 3 weeks, a lot of people have been saying to me, you have to listen to this amazing sound. And then the traffic is just there, constantly in the background. And I feel like saying, shh, just let me have a chance to listen to this sound. So it's definitely the traffic, yeah.
What was it like hearing your niece's voice?
That was absolutely beautiful. Obviously, I had an idea in my head what a child sounded like. But I just didn't realise. I mean, she's only 4 and her voice was so sweet, and that'll be something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. I did not realise in 40 years just how beautiful and innocent a child sounds.
Why are you still lip reading?
Why am I still lip reading? Because I've been doing this for 40 years and it's just a habit I need to break out of. And quite funnily enough, I think it's the only thing I've got from my life before. And in a very strange way, it's given me comfort right now because I'm on this massive emotional whirlwind. I'm hearing all these sounds and there's still like a lot of sound and I don't quite know what they are yet. But that's over time and I start to like build like a sound library and I start to recognise what all the different sounds are. And yet it's just over time and just one day my brain will stop lip reading as much as I do now.
What music has impressed you most?
Music, well, the first song that I listened to was actually Imagine by John Lennon. And obviously it was just absolutely beautiful. I mean, like the words and the lyrics of the song. But as well, I'd been able to hear the instrument. It was so emotional. And obviously I was crying again when I was listening to that. But the music part of it has been absolutely phenomenal because I also have a very good friend called Tremaine. And Tremaine had sort of compiled some like memory tapes for me. And he'd picked like a song, which is one song from every year of my life. So he's got 39 songs.
Why was Imagine chosen as the first song that you'd listen to?
Well, there is a reason behind that. And I have a school friend called Tanya and she suggested the song. But the reason for that was while I was in that month when I was actually, you know, at home, I'd had the operation, I didn't have my hearing aids. It was very, very much of a very silent world. And a lot of people were sending me messages and good wishes. And we didn't even know if the implant was going to be successful or not. And she sent me a message and she said, I'm praying that it will. And if you have a chance, listen to this song. And because she was the first one, I mean, there's been hundreds and thousands since then, but she was the first person that did it, and I was just fitting to go with that song.
How did it feel for you hearing it?
Obviously, what was more emotional for me was just the actual lyrics and the words of Imagine were just like going in my head without lip reading, and that's what was so, so emotional. But you have to remember, and this is the reason I don't have any headphones on now, I have some actual headphones that do connect to my actual device, which is like the implant. So when I'm listening to the song, yeah, it's not my ears at all. It's actually like on the side of my head.
Ah, okay.
So it's actually redundant now, like the sound that goes in my ears, and it's quite hard to explain. When I wore the hearing aids, I had like a mole that went in my ear, but now it's like on the side of my head, like directly into the auditory nerve.
After the whole experience for you, Joanne, you've decided to make a difference to the lives of other people living with Usher syndrome.
Oh yes, obviously, because it's been such a positive story, it had already inspired so many people to have a cochlear implant. And obviously it's going to inspire other deaf blind people to maybe consider having this done. Because it's like I said, when you have visual problems, it really does improve the quality of your life.
What does the future hold for you now?
I really don't know what the future holds for me. But the way that things are just happening day by day, I can tell it's going to be a very exciting future. It's going to be, I think the emotional roller coaster is probably going to last for the rest of my life. But it's all good and I'm enjoying the ride.
Well, you absolutely deserve to enjoy the ride. I think you're sensational.
You.
And what we'd like to do over here is get our listeners to create a playlist for you of inspirational Irish music, and we're going to make sure to get that over to you as well.
Oh, that would be absolutely marvellous. You've just reminded me of another Sam there, and it just shows you that there's just a whole new experience and a whole new world of Irish music. Wow.
Well, it'll be a pleasure to send you over something. It's been a joy to talk to you. Your story is so inspirational. Keep doing what you're doing. And thank you very much as well. And this is Imagine.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.